Hello, everybody. Welcome into All Pro Lines, the podcast. I'm your host, Kostaki Economopoulos. We got the very funny Robert Barrill with us today. We promise to do this about once a month in the off season, and we've been nailing it. We're not pretending to be great at it, but we're going to do it once a month either way. And then once a week in the season, that's typically what we do. Might have some changes afoot this year. We're talking about some of that now. But today is the old fashioned construct of me telling some jokes and doing a few things and talking to you for a sec. And then talking to a guest about football. Let's see if we get any characters in the thing. It's very unusual to have viewers at this point with no announcement, the weird time. Not yet. Okay, good. Let's do a few plugs. I am back on the road next week. Yeah, I'm doing Rock Creek, Ohio, Northeast Pennsylvania, Williamsport, Pennsylvania, Sudbury, Ohio, Greenville, Ohio, and then Cincinnati, Ohio, all in the next couple of weeks. August, I'm doing San Luis Obispo, Clovis, California, and Bakersfield, California. And then I'll make my way to Terre Haute and Montgomery, Indiana, and on and on and on and on from there to Boise and lots of other places, Shelbyville, Belterra Casino for the benefit show. I'll tell you some more about that as we get closer. All the schedule stuff's at Kostaki.com. Our friends at BetMGM and Underdog Fantasy, we have affiliate programs with those guys, which means when you use the promo code or just use the links on any of the social media pages that we have, there's a little bio and you can just click through. And when you click through that, they know that we sent you, and they give us a few bucks for that. That's a nice way to support the podcast. BetMGM is, of course, one of the leaders in all of the betting universe these days, and they do all the sports and all the fun things. Underdog Fantasy is a little smaller potatoes group that does some really cool stuff, and they are the absolute leaders in best ball NFL fantasy stuff. If you're doing best ball in the offseason, they're the guys for that. They do great stuff. They do giant tournaments. They do little leagues. They do lots of little teeny tiny stuff and lots of mid-sized stuff and some gigantic stuff. So whatever you're into in terms of best ball, it's fun. I have a best ball draft going like constantly. They have a few that are, you can pick 8 hours per pick. So it takes a couple of weeks to do the whole draft. And it's just fun to have like a fantasy thing going on when it's July and you're just like, yeah, I wonder if it's my pick yet. Oh, nobody picked a receiver that I wanted. That's good news. It's fun. Anyway, that's a legit hobby of mine. So no one's paying me to say that. That's legit one of my things that I love to do. And that's the reason that we reached out to Underdog and became friends with them in the first place. Let's see. Other announcements? We don't have to do too much. I'll tell you briefly about me and my life. I've had two kiddos for the better part of the last 2 weeks. There was a day here where the little one went away, and a day there the big one went to hang with some friends. But it's been cool, man. We went to Laguna Beach for a couple days, stayed in a hotel near the water, and wandered around and ate meals and shopped and talked about life and jumped in the well, I mean, a 5-year-old and a 15-year-old. It's hard to find something that both of them are enjoying simultaneously. But the beach is one of those things. And it was cool to just hang with them and eat on rooftops and wander around and watch sunsets. And it's like a Greek style beach, man. It's not about the swimming exactly. The water's really cold and the waves come pretty harsh sometimes. And it's like a lot of rocks. It's not a lot of sand, but it was fun to just get out there and be silly and talk about stuff and get too wet and wander around and find some other beach that was cool and follow a crab and dig in the sand a little bit and have the little one run around and pick up shells. I've sometimes in the last couple of years gotten a little overwhelmed with all the other things that I'm doing. And it's been really fun to just like chill and not work for a while and just enjoy being with the kids and enjoy being a dad and like working on some of my weaknesses as a dad and improving those and just having a good time with the kids. So it's been nice. So I'm shifting gears this week. I'm doing all the grunt work of what it is to be a comic. And actually, I'm going to go do an open mic with Augie Smith, one of my favorite characters, tomorrow night. And I'm having some meetings with folks. And I'm going to have lunch with Jimmy Pardo tomorrow. That'll be good too. And I'm working on launching another brand, which I'll let you guys know about, and doing some of the underground work of what it is to be a comic. And one of the things I've been working on lately is the meme for every team, which is kind of the all-pro lines unofficial kickoff to the season. I'm recording this on July 1st. And July is the meme for every team season. So we're going to do every day. We're going to do a meme alphabetical by mascot all the way through. And actually, those are the jokes for the day. Just last night, I went through and picked them all. Brian Miller wrote some great jokes, and I really worked my ass off on this time. I was on the ship for a while, and I just put my head down and worked on this for a long time. I had this daydream that I was ended up doing a bunch of football jokes on the ship. And I wasn't sure they were going to work because, you know, you're not sure exactly what the crowds are like. And sometimes they're non-native English speakers, but it was a Seattle north to Alaska and back kind of cruise. And like 90-something% of the people on the ship were Americans. And they loved the football jokes. It was fun. So I put my head down and I kept writing those. And when you're a comic on a ship like that, it's a little bit of a tricky wicket. You know, they're like, well, you got to do the theater show. It's 20 minutes. And then you don't repeat that in the club show. And then you got to do an adult club show that's 40 minutes. And then you got to do a family show that's 40 minutes. And ideally, there's no crossover. It's a little head scrambling and insane. And the football jokes ended up being kind of a hit on the ship. And so, and it's fun because usually I work the Midwest and there's about five teams that people say all the time. You know, you get your Bears and Packers and there's always a Cowboys fan or whatever. But on the ship, with people from all over the country, we got Dolphins fans and Seahawks fans. And it was kind of fun to screw around with them. And it allowed me to do a little crowd work and do some jokes that I knew were going to work in there too. It was really fun. So I put my head down and I worked like crazy on these. And there'll be tons of jokes that will come from this writing that won't be in the meme for every team, but we finally knocked that out. So let's do some of them. Fuck it. Let's do all of them. They're just one-liners. It's 32 one-liners. All right, everybody. Love it or hate it. Here we go. Bears, we got rid of Fields. If we could just get rid of the goalposts and the stands and the referees, now we'll have something. Bengals, our Joe falls down less. Bills, hope to lose another Super Bowl someday. One for the thumb. Broncos, Colorado does not have enough edibles to make Bo Nix look like Drew Brees. Browns, we need a logo and a quarterback and an owner and a game plan. Bucks, Tampa's where you order the mullet at the restaurant and the barbershop. Cards, I lived in Tampa briefly. It's a weird combination. It is a weird combination of tropical and rednecky. There's Yankees there and there's people from South Georgia. And it's like the only place where there's palm trees and El Caminos. It's a weird combination. Cardinals, where football goes to retire. Chargers, a true LA team. We're homeless. Chiefs, Mahomes is studying Brady. The big lesson this year, don't suggest that your wife take jiu-jitsu. That's probably a good lesson. Colts, our quarterback spends more time in a blue tent than Ulysses S. Grant. There's a Brian Miller joke. There's a joke written by Brian Miller. Commanders, a true DC team. Even the football is taxing. Cowboys, don't mess with Texas until January. Man, you mess with them. Dolphins, we were hawking two away before that girl. Eagles, cloudy with a chance of batteries. Falcons, George is on my mind, but not in the playoffs. Giants, they call him Danny Dimes because he definitely doesn't have four quarters in him. See, these are good jokes. Jags, these spots don't run or pass or kick or tackle. Jets, gangrene is suing for defamation. Lions, they look so bad. Now they look great. They're like Cher on a show day. You see, because she would probably come in a little rough. And then Niners. San Francisco is where the luxury boxes are cheaper to rent than the apartments. Packers, the team owned by the fans and lately also by the Lions. Panthers, they've been in the basement for longer than that lady in Silence of the Lambs. Patriots, they used to look so great. Now they look terrible, like Courtney Love at an open bar. Raiders, John Madden made them famous, which is appropriate because now on Madden is the only place they can win. Rams, Hollywood's team, appropriate because after a lot of plays, you just want to yell, cut! Can we go back to one on that? Ravens, no bridge quarterback or bridge. Remember there was a crash? We had a thing. Saints, a carnival every March, a circus every Sunday. Seahawks, the Starbucks is so you can stay awake till the third quarter. Steelers, we have a curtain, but it's less steel, more balsa wood at this point. Texans haven't been this happy since they passed that law that let you shoot people on your yard. Titans, they let Derrick Henry go. The people of Tennessee haven't been this pissed since they started teaching evolution in schools. And the Vikings wrap things up appropriately for our guest. Just like seven, they're headed towards 8 and 9. All right, everybody. Woo. We did it. That was all 32 teams. All right, we've made him wait enough. Let's get him out here. He's funny, man. He's one of the few comics out there doing political jokes, which is what I want to ask him about right away. He's one of the great Acme guys, Minneapolis dude. Great writer, good dude. Let's bring him in. Robert Burrell, everybody. Hey, man.
Hey. I had a feeling you were doing Scopes Monkey Trial when you got to Tennessee. I'm like, Scopes.
How do you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've earned it. What was the other one? There was another. That one came down to two. The other one was some version of the Titans are like Al Gore. They lost this state.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That was fun. I'm glad I got to be here for the little one-liner marathon there. That was good.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of work to get to 32 one-liners. Oof. Mm-hmm. Pages of mediocre jokes, please. Oh, brutal. So talk to me. I studied politics. I was going to teach American government at one point in my life.
I could see that.
Both of my parents, PhDs and teachers and professors and whatnot. And I was kind of on that path. And there was a time in my life when I was early on being a comic, I did a lot of political jokes. And I was in the South. I mean, you think of like anything that's within a 6-hour drive of Atlanta, man, those are some goobery places. And I would go in there and talk about homophobia and gun control. And man, it was tricky sometimes. And then I sort of grew into a phase where I would do every 4 years for the election cycle. Like there'd be about a 10-month period where I would build like a 6, 8, 10-minute chunk and do that. And then over time, I sort of faded from it. And then the last decade, it's gotten so divisive and tricky. How do you do it?
But also pervasive. Right. Like I've
yes.
And not that I have a tremendous amount of experience, but in the presidential elections in my life, like none of them. I mean, that's the way it's sold. Right. It's like this is the most important election. And I think that's where Democrats kind of shot themselves in the foot. Where like looking back now, it's like I did some joke on Facebook last week about how I'm pretty sure at this point, like the Obama Romney debates are considered pornography. Like now yeah. You watch that and you're like, oh my God, they're so informed and calm and thoughtful. And like, I don't know how much longer I can hold out. Like this is, And then it's like, if every time, oh, the sky is falling. If it's John McCain, the sky's falling. So then Trump comes along and everybody's like, the sky's fine. Like what's, you know, how bad could it be? And so now, it's crazy. But yeah, so it's hard to get rid of because it's everywhere now. It's especially right. when you don't have football and you don't have, I mean, there's baseball, but not many, even baseball people aren't like jacked for baseball. It's like, okay, now I have the thing that I watch and I drink for 2.5 hours and stuff. And so I think there is that sort of, sports in general, you can kind of just, it's a healthy way of tapping into that us versus them thing. And then once that goes away, every time we have an election, now it's that same kind of thing, except it's the other half of the country are the assholes or whatever. And
right.
And yeah.
But how do you, to me, there's several strikes on political jokes. One is they tend to be topical and they can get dated feelings faster than other things. Two, there's people are in a bar situation and hanging and laughing, and they sometimes political jokes feel to them like, oh, this is the hard stuff that I'm trying to get away from. You know, like the Facebook pages are filled with political things, and even the late night shows have gotten very political and partisan and mm-hmm. harsh. And I think sometimes people want to escape some of that. How do you balance it? Is it a little like Bill Hicks where you're doing like a dick joke and then you do a smart joke and you can kind of find a way to
ideally combine the two. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thank you, Stormy Daniels. There's ways you can combine the two, but I mean, it's weird because there are some times where I'm in a situation where I don't think necessarily the political stuff is going to go over well. So I do other material and it kind of does so. And I'm like, well, here we go. And they love it. I think because of it, it is pervasive. And I think it is something where it's, especially in an election year, it's almost weird to not address it at all, because then it's almost like, as a comedian anyway, you're like, not any take in general on any of the shit show that's going on
right
now. But I think, you know, you and I are both clever writers. And I think that's just the secret, is don't be lazy with it and just take some time and think of like a creative spin you can put on it where you're going to get most people on board. Bent Washburn's a really good friend of mine, very funny comic. And he likes to refer to himself as a raging moderate. And the older I get, the more I kind of see that. And I think that's kind of that's the safest spot to write jokes from. That's the safest perspective to have, is you're frustrated with both sides. And even though you're poking fun at different things, you still poke fun at, I mean, I begin my political set by doing probably 4 or 5 minutes of Biden stuff, which is great because everybody laughs. Liberals laugh at it too. I mean,
right.
And I think conservatives laugh at that. And then in return for that, when I pivot to something like abortion or something else where they might not be on board, then it's like, okay, well, you can't say I'm not poking fun at both sides.
Right.
And then it's just a matter of give and take and trying to find a perspective where you're not soapboxy and saying this is what's right. It's more of like a man of the people, like, well, this can't be right. Right. Like, this has to be wrong. I'm not saying I'm right, but I'm saying this shit's wrong. And I think as long as you go about it that way, it's got a much greater chance of succeeding.
Yeah. And well, again, kudos, man. It's a real art to that.
Yeah. And well, I mean, one of my, I was influenced a lot growing up by Dennis Miller, and in his specials, especially, I think it was like the Live from DC. He just goes through like the Clinton appointees for his cabinet and then just zings each one of them one after the other. And so I think I kind of, to a lesser extent, just kind of like, okay, yeah, Biden jokes, some Trump jokes, some RFK Jr., and then just do issues. And I think that helps too, if you're talking about a specific issue or topical thing versus an actual politician, where they might get a little, you know, rah-rah for the team, and I'm not going to laugh, even though I might agree, because whatever, but you know, if it's about a particular news story or something, and then just finding a funny angle on it. I would even say I'm more of like a current event comic than I am a political comic.
Right. Right. Hey, quick technical note. I think when you shake your head, your mic rubs on your
shirt. Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, don't say.
Stop moving.
Sorry. Sorry. All right.
Stop being interested and focused and human.
Yeah. All right. I'll be as stoic. I'll be Biden for this interview. Then I'm not gonna move at all.
What a low bar! You answered all
together,
the questions.
You and I are gonna beat Medicare.
Yeah, I think about Dennis Miller jokes all the time. There's so many good ones. I thought about one today, as a matter of fact. The states can't pave fucking roads. That sticks with me, you know, as we get into this sort of anti-federal, you know, sort of like, let's let the states figure it out. Like, really? We're going to leave abortion to the state? Like, it's like fireworks now? That was...
Yeah.
It's crazy. And my favorite Dennis Miller line of all time, I forget who he's talking about, Pat Buchanan?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I think I know the line.
He's so homophobic, he thinks global warming was caused by the AIDS quilt.
That's exactly the line. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You can spend your whole life not writing a joke that good.
And then he does some long rant. I think one of his first rants ever, I think it's in the live from DC, and he's doing a rant on the Kennedys. And then he says it, and it's not even, it's just like a tag to it. But he's like, and I realized by doing this joke, I risk becoming the first person in history to be assassinated by a Kennedy. And just like a little twist on it is so good.
He's great. Is he still great? Have you seen him lately?
I think his specials get on progressively more esoteric media out. Like, it used to be HBO, and now I think it's like straight to Tubi or like a Newsmax thing, or I don't know. Normally it's supposed to go the other way, but he started that. Yeah, I think he just leaned more and more right after, because I think he was always a little conservative, at least from what I've read and what other people have said, like Al Franken. But then I think after 9/11 he really took a turn to the right. And
I'm kind of surprised to hear that. I always thought of him as a lefty left guy back in the day, but.
Well, I think that's because he did a lot of abortion and gay marriage stuff, which are issues he's on the left, where he is on the left. But I think, like, economically, especially foreign policy, he's a pretty big hawk. And I think that came to the forefront after 9/11.
Right. Okay. Let's talk football. You're in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
You set your boy down to Atlanta. Are we gonna be happy with this?
No, you're not. He's your problem now.
Wait a minute. You got to remember the context. We haven't had a quarterback to crack the top 50 quarterbacks in the world play for 2 years, maybe three, depending on how you define the ghost of Matt Ryan.
Well, hey, as long as you're looking for somebody that'll throw for 400 yards against the Arizona Cardinals twice a year, and leads you to a barely above 500 record, and you lose the first playoff game, you got your boy.
Like, playoff you game are, sounds exciting. I don't remember what that's like.
I mean, you definitely sound like you just came out of a domestic violence situation, and you like the guy that you got isn't abusive. I mean, he's psychologically abusive, I suppose, but certainly not physically abusive. But even you guys drafted Penix, right? So yeah. Then it's like you get Kirk, but even you guys are like, but he might not really be the guy, right?
I think when you don't have a quarterback for so long in a row, you panic.
Get as many as you just want, like a bachelor type situation where your offensive coordinator can just have five quarterbacks there and then just pick the one at the end.
Yeah. All right. So where is he? He's the 14th best quarterback in the world, assuming Achilles health. 11.
Yeah. I guess I don't have the list in front of me. I would probably say closer to 15 than 11. I think he's very good at media and contracts and stuff, but I just don't think he's got I don't think he's got like that alpha dog competitive nature to him. He doesn't work Tuesdays. I think he's very much, I'm maximizing the money I get, my family, football's a job, which okay, But, you know, you see somebody like Burrow or Allen or Jalen Hurts or somebody where it's just at least go down swinging. You know, I keep going back to, and it's going to be really hard for me not to just shake my head completely off my body talking about the fourth down, fourth and eight, and he checks down for 3 yards. And it was the most, like, I'm a Minnesota fan. So, like, when Gary Anderson missed the field goal in 98 and Favre threw back over the middle, and it was devastating, but it was still like, okay, you took swings and you missed, but this was like the most impotent. Yeah, like, wait, that's it? Like, that's just it. That's, oh, they now they have the ball and they can just run up. Like, that can't be, you know. And that was his best chance, because that team was what, 13-4 or something ridiculous, home playoff game against the Giants. I mean, that's why what's his name, their quarterback, got like a contract, because, you know, we had the terrible offensive coordinator and he made him look like a pro, and he hasn't beaten anybody since. But yeah, I definitely think that was Kirk's best chance. And he did it against Buffalo. Just, you have Justin Jefferson, just throw it toward him. Maybe they interfere with him, maybe something, but.
Right. Yeah, I hear you. I have to say, I came around to like Cousins more from that, the documentary Quarterbacks. Did you see that?
I did. I saw the first, like, I had a renewed appreciation for what he puts his body through, because I didn't realize how bad of a beating he took. So, yeah, I respected him for that. Yeah, but,
and some of those clips are, you know, like, he's on the field. Yeah, you kind of, I mean, these guys seem so far away. They're like avatars sometimes, and you forget the humanity in it, of like, you know, he's literally like grunting and getting up and running back to the line, and he's going, oh. It's great. And then he does all the little things, all the icing and the film study and the, I don't know. I grew to like him even more. But you're right. You know, going in, this is not a top five guy. That's not what you're signing up for.
No. It seems like he's, and I think you kind of saw it that season, I think he plays at his best when his team is down. And he has, it's almost like forced to make these throws. Whereas if the game is tie or his team has the lead, it's check down. It's, I can't blow the game. I don't want to be the one to make the mistake. So you're not going to get like shipwrecked with Kirk Cousins, but you're also not going to get that like ice in the veins. I mean, I think the last 2 years, and maybe you could also blame McConnell a little bit, but I don't think we beat more than two teams by more than two scores. Like, how does it even happen? Like, you can't, you know, you play the Bears, you play some of these shitty teams, and it's like you can't beat them by more than 7 points. Like, what's, you know, sorry, this is going to be very hard for me not to shake when I talking about
you can hold Vikings. It out. No one cares about the video component here.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point. Although I will say, I thought it was pretty funny how normally he is pretty savvy with the media, and it was it didn't take very long for him to basically spill the beans on the whole tampering thing, where it was like, hey, how'd you like Atlanta? He's like, oh yeah, I had some good meetings with it. And it's like, you're not, that shouldn't have happened at all. But then you guys, what did you lose, like a third round pick or something?
A fifth round pick and some money. That's pretty wrist slappy. That's not much. Some fifth round picks don't make the team that season.
Yeah. And that's a thing too. Like, so do you think that is just probably going to be like, I mean, I guess it's always been kind of like a wink, wink with tampering, but now it'll be like, just tamper. Like, again, fifth round pick and some money. Or,
I mean, this is how I feel about the 30 minute parking right here in front of my building, which they don't enforce. Like, either it's the rule or it's not the rule. Just fucking decide. Don't have a rule that you don't enforce. It's really, that's one of my biggest beefs with all of society. Like, because if you have a rule that you don't enforce well, what you're doing is you're rewarding the assholes, right? Like, the good people in the society who are trying to be community spirited, you know, get squeezed out by schmucks because you're not enforcing the rules.
It's the people that stay in the other lane and grind as far as they can and then cut everybody else off, even though we all know that kind of stuff coming to an end.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Either that's wrong or it's not. Let's decide. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. If we all know that that's the rule and we're all going to try to do that, then we're evens. That's fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, either it's tampering or it's not. In my personal opinion, that kind of thing should be allowed always. That's the whole point of free agency. If you have somebody who can make a better offer, that's the whole point of an open system. It's capitalism. And arguably, Florio has been arguing for a decade now that the draft is anti-capitalist because you're telling the players don't have a choice where they play. It should be an open system where there's bidding, you know, and the player gets to decide what team they play for.
Oh, I like that.
Well, I like I personally like the socialism of the system of give the shitty teams hope. Well,
there's some parity, right? So that way it keeps.
I like the parity.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't particularly care for baseball or the European soccer leagues with relegation because it's just like it's the Wild West. Like you're going to have a Barcelona and you're going to have a tiny little speck of a team that has no chance every year. Like that, to me, it's more interesting. Any NFL team is 3 years away from competitive, pretty much. I mean, at least it's possible. So you never feel like you're that out of it.
No, even when you're like the Texans were supposed to have been like rebuilding right last year, and then they made the playoffs and you know, I think until Kansas City knocked him out, but like they looked incredible. So yeah, I think I like the system too, where even if it is kind of a rebuild, it's not like it's taken 5-6 years.
Right. Right. Yeah. The Texans are not too quietly making hay from that Deshaun Watson, you know, it's like get Hansy Henderson out of here and give us 3 first-round picks and you take all the salary chaos and we can start over. Good for them. I love that they figured that out. That's great.
Yeah. And then it's like, boy, which team is going to fall for Cleveland? Of course, Cleveland. I think that's what Cleveland's there for, actually. It's just,
oh, they have the best fans. They deserve so much better. Oh, all right, let's do this. This is a quick one.
But now it's time for which comes first. Oh, yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens?
Dramatic pause.
It's time for which comes first.
Kirk Cousins' retirement or Russell Wilson's retirement?
Oh, probably Russell Wilson. Kirk Cousins will be around for another 10 years. He'll Cleveland. Cleveland will sign him to an eight-year contract, guaranteed $75 million. Cousins will be 43. It won't matter.
I don't know. I could see Cousins like at the end, because basically the Falcons signed him to what amounts to be a 2-year deal. It's $100 million guaranteed. And it's the first 2 years. And after that, they could cut him for nothing. So it's kind of a 2-year deal. It wouldn't shock me if he walked away at the end of that, especially if there's another injury or something. He's had more money than he could ever spend in a million years. Right?
And one playoff win. One playoff win. And yeah.
I don't know. I mean, these are great storylines. That's why we watch this stuff. I'm fascinated to see what happens with both of those guys. The Russell Wilson story, I think, I don't think we've ever had this where they have guaranteed money where all he has to. This is confusing. See if I can break it down super simply. Basically, he is guaranteed X amount of money for this season. Mm-hmm. And the team that he plays for only has to pay. Basically, the Broncos have to pay whatever the new team doesn't pay him up to the guaranteed money that he has. There's 2 years of this. And so he went and signed for the league minimum to stick it to the Broncos. I can't believe that's happening. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. So, and he's, you know, on a team with a great coach that's got some of the ingredients to be a great team and another quarterback that desperately needs a second chance. And I think it's a great story. See what happens with Russell Wilson. I think he's still a good football player. He's definitely top 32 quarterbacks, in my opinion. And we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, was it just like he didn't get along with the coach in Denver? He wasn't playing the kind of style the guy wanted? Or why do you think Like, in order to stick it to a team like that, you had to sign for league minimum. There's definitely got to be a lot of bad blood there.
Yeah, and I think there was, and you saw it a couple times on the field and in a public way. I'm not near it. I haven't met mm-hmm. these people, but it sure looks from a distance like Sean Payton is an asshole. And Russell Wilson is
probably close up too, from a distance and also right up.
Russell right up Wilson's, front, yeah. You know, he's a little plasticky and sort of, you know, keep his head down kind of a nice guy. You know, I mm-hmm. think it's a bad match. And he's not, you know, he's not performing at the highest level that he ever has. And so he certainly needed a fresh start, but I'm kind of, you know, in a weird way, again, he's not someone I particularly like, but I'm kind of rooting for him now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody likes a comeback story, you know? Yeah. So I think that's very compelling. And so, especially if you had someone that won the title and then I'm just describing a comeback story, but yeah, I think it's very compelling too. I'm like, no, I caught myself. I'm like, what am I doing? That's just literally what a comeback story is.
All right, let's do a quick version of this.
All right, kids, put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
NFL.com. Yeah, that's Glenn. Do you remember Glenn?
No, I was going to say, is that your voice? Who's doing
that? No, that's my buddy Glenn. He's a friend of the show. He's kind of co-hosted a few times and been a guest many, many times. I just happened to stumble on this today. NFL.com wrote an article about the 10 best offenses. And then they had a list of the 10 best offenses from the prior season as a warm-up to it. And this list surprised me. So it's points per game. The number one team had 28.4 points per game on average. And there's a list of 10 teams here. And if you can name five or six of them without getting too many wrong, you win.
Oh, okay. So this past season?
Yeah. So in 2023, this is the list of the top 10 offenses. And it's a little bit...
Miami?
It's a little bit unusual. Miami is tied for second. 27.5 points per game last year. So Miami's definitely on this list.
Baltimore?
Yeah, that's who they're tied with. Second place, Baltimore and Miami.
Detroit?
Detroit's number five. Yes, sir. Crushing it so far.
Well, let's see. Buffalo?
Buffalo is number six. 25.3 points per game last season.
Nice. Oh, San Francisco.
San Francisco's number one. 28.4 points per game. I didn't see that one surprise me. I'm not surprised that they're on this list, but I'm surprised that they're number one. I thought they were we're a good defense kind of team.
Did I win already? Am I still going?
You got five out of five.
Let's see. How many more? How many more do I need? I need one more and I get...
Yeah, one or two more. We'll call you a winner.
Okay. Let's go. Cincinnati? No, Burrow got hurt. Never mind. I'm taking that back.
That's right. You're right.
Oh, Cincinnati is one?
No, you're right. Oh, he's got hurt. Yeah, they're not on this list, and I would have thought they would be, but...
Yeah. I pulled that one back. Highest scoring list. No. Philadelphia?
Yep. They're number seven on here. So you win. Here's the list. San Francisco, Baltimore, Miami, Dallas.
Oh, okay.
Detroit, Buffalo, Philly, Rams. That surprises me. Saints. Jarringly surprising.
That doesn't make any sense.
And the Cleveland Browns, the 10th best offense in the league last year.
They did kind of turn it on at one point, didn't they?
They had a few games with Flacco where everything was kind of like really, I guess that's what pulled them into the 10th spot. Not on this list, the Kansas City Chiefs. Isn't that weird?
Well, wasn't it their defense mainly this season that kind of did it for them? Because I remember the first part, like none of Mahomes' receivers could hang on to the ball.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah, so that's surprising. And no Bengals. And let's see, where are the other? No Packers. They had a big injury. No Texans.
Oh, the Texans weren't. That kind of surprises me.
Right. And then all the other kind of teams that you kind of think could be on this list, all of the Colts kind of, you know, there's a bunch of them where you're like, meh, no, okay, all right. So tell us, tell the folks listening where they can find you, Robert Burrill.
Well, right now I'm back home in Warroad, Minnesota. If you're one of the 1,500 people that live in this town, tomorrow night I'm doing the Lake of the Woods brewery. And then there's also one in Bedette, Minnesota that I'm doing Saturday. But in case you're not one of the 5,000 people that are in the area, I will be at Acme Comedy Company August 7th through the 10th in Minneapolis headlining. And then the following weekend, August, I think it's the 16th and 17th, I'm headlining the Comedy Cabin in Janesville, Wisconsin. So those are the two big club dates I have coming up.
Oh, that's great. There's a club now in Janesville. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I've been doing Janesville for years, but I do like this weird little bar where they have just been, it just works. But I'm happy there's a club there. That's great, man.
Yeah.
And Acme, one of the best. I've got my Acme poster right here. The 20th anniversary.
I think now they're up to like 30 or something, right? Isn't it?
Last one was 30, and it must be. That's been a few years now, so it's three, give or take.
Yeah, because it was like, what, 91, I think, was the first year, right, of the club? Because I think I just did the memory thing because that was when the Twins won a World Series. So I feel like that's because I think it's – if nah, I don't know.
I love that club so much. I've been working there forever. But the first – I've told this story before, but the first time I did it, I – Lewis didn't say – one word to me the whole week I was there. And I was like, oh, I should take a picture. I'm never coming back to this place. And I would pass him occasionally, like in the hall or something. He never spoke to me. And then on the last day, he sat me down and paid me. And he goes, we think we're going to bring you back one more time to middle. And then we headline you. And I thought, I thought I was fired as the middle. I was shocked to get that information. It's also the place where this is how long I've been working the club. I used the payphone in the lobby to call and get the results of my first ever AIDS test.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's
I had a new girlfriend and I remember standing in the lobby of Acme waiting to get my AIDS test results.
Oh, so it wasn't like a scare. That was like a, let's just make sure you don't have AIDS or that wasn't
it was like trying to be grown ups and be responsible and let's do AIDS tests.
Like, let's go through our sexual partners. Well, oh, number one's Freddie Mercury. All right. Well, listen, I definitely need to get this figured
Let's
out.
Both freak out for a month about nothing. Let's do that.
Yeah.
My schedule is at Kostaki.com. Meme for every team is out on the social media platforms. People always ask, like, what can I do to help support the All Pro Lines universe? The short answer is engagement. Like things, comment on things, share things, tag your friends on their shitty teams. Every team will be covered in July, and you can tag your buddies, you know, for today is the Bears joke, and we'll be rolling them out all month long, and we'll be doing other memes as well and other interactive things. We're going to grow this crazy beast into a giant. That's the goal. Thanks for being on, man. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, great to see you again. Thanks for having me.
Go find Robert Burrill. What are the social media platform? Where do they find you on the socials?
I think it's at Robert Burrill 2 on Twitter, just Robert Burrill, B-A-R-I-L on Facebook, Instagrampa Comedy on Instagram. And then I believe it's Robert Burrill Comedy on, the TikTok. Speaking of which, the Hawk Tua joke was perfection. That was,
that's a Brian Miller too.
Yeah.
That's your boy. That's your boy, Brian Miller doing
Hawk and Tua before. Yeah. If Shout Trump picks her as Brian VP, Miller. This whole election's over. This whole election's over. Trump and Tua, that's forget about it.
Trump and Tua. Now it's going to haunt me. I got to sleep eventually tonight. Thanks to Heather and Ron and Ewan for jumping on here with no notice. You guys were awesome. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back in a month-ish, and it won't be that long until every week. Thanks for everything. I hope none of your players get hurt in the next month. And football season is right around the corner. Take it easy, guys. We'll talk soon. See ya.
This is Scott Campbell from the Stupid Things for Love podcast. I have a 7-year-old son, and the biggest mountain I climb every day is trying to put shoes on this child. And I'm so grateful to Skechers for making the only shoes my son will willingly put on by himself. Their slip-ons are amazing, and he doesn't have to deal with laces. He doesn't have to deal with anything. They come in the perfect color blue. Thank you, Skechers, the comfort technology company. And you can find Skechers everywhere, Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.